What's up, guys? Patrick Jolly here. I got a couple quick announcements for you before we get going on with the show. First off, our website, devilsbusiness.net. Go check that out. It's got some extras from the show, blogs, photos, videos, and of course the podcast. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or any podcast app you might have on your phone. Secondly, a personal announcement, my comedy album with fellow comedian Matthew Lumpkin, we are known as the Saints and Sinners Comedy Tour. Our album is out now on iTunes and Amazon MP3. It's ready to download, so go purchase that now. It's called Saints and Sinners Comedy, Advisory Immature Content. Make sure you get that. Make sure you rate it. Give us 5 stars and tell them how funny we were. Thanks a lot. Now on with the show. Meet Brad. It's time for Devil's Business.
Hey, aren't you Rob Thomas?
Yeah, you like that thing I did with Santana?
Welcome to the show that covers the sex, drugs, and rock and roll lives of the people that are still awake while the wholesome people are sound asleep. I'm your host, Patrick Jolly, and with me are the guys of Dream Productions, Sofane and Brizad. What's up, guys?
What's up?
Well, so hungover.
We're going to do the Meet Brad episode. And before we get going into the Meet Brad episode, Sofane, you're going to give us the promos of the week for MyFavoriteSin.com.
This week starts out Wednesday at Dive Bar with live music with Dixie Duncan. Thursdays at TNG, Southern Hospitality. It's best Thursday in the city. Friday, we're actually, if you go to the website, we've got a lot of options for Friday. There's opera. We've got discount tickets for, man, every Friday night at opera, and there's always a big show from Illuminate or Liquefied. Cosmo Lava is where you'll generally find us loitering on Friday nights. And then we also have a guest list for Havana and Buckhead, so you can sign up for any of those. Saturday at TNG, I believe we have one of our old Dream associates from Pensacola, Florida, DJing, Eddie Gold. He's a kid who came up to Atlanta, man, who's really made a name for himself in the EDM scene. He's
kind of very driven kid.
Kind of a big deal, super cool, and man, he's going to play some good music. I know we were there last night. We went, Brad's in town, so we took him to Tongue and Groove, and man, we heard some really good sets. Rimby last night stole the show without anybody knowing it.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that because I was out of town. I wanted to know how they were, and apparently did really, really well because y'all got home at what time?
Oh, well, a couple hours ago. Mind your own business. You know, I was upstairs. We were drinking and chit-chatting when Rimby just started tearing it apart. You know, I'm like talking to some girls and, man, we're having a good time. And then I just start hearing his set and it just yokes me out of the whole thing. I couldn't do anything but listen to the guy, man. I was very happy with his set. Very well done.
It was definitely noticeable when he came on, without a doubt.
And then after that, man, you know what? As responsible human beings, we decided, man, let's just head back out of the house, chill. So we got a podcast to record tomorrow. But unfortunately, we had...
you didn't realize you were encroaching on the time that we were supposed to record the podcast.
We had alcohol, Nick, and... man, a couple of our other friends with us, and they decided they wanted to go to this party on, call it Shop and Sip.
There's nothing better than being drunk and being able to shop.
Yeah, well, there really wasn't much shopping.
It's
it was
a very clever workaround from the liquor laws.
Yeah.
don't ruin it, B-Rad.
You know what? You know what? After being
I'm sorry. They had some great T-shirts.
So there's some
very expensive.
Some Ed Hardy t-shirts in there. Nice. Yeah,
a couple NASCAR.
It was a little crazy, man. You know, when the people who filter into that place at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, man, they come preloaded with issues. It was pretty interesting people watching. We went because I was hoping to get some interesting stories, and unfortunately we didn't come out with anything fantastic.
And so I just get to have two really beaten up guys to try to do a podcast with.
That would be an understatement.
Fantastic.
I was thinking maybe we didn't do this episode so funny as a documentary. A documentary where we can't really remember any of the facts.
All right, before we start the first story, Aaron, I want you to tell me who Brizad is, or Brad, who he is to you and why he is here and encroaching on our fucking podcast.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Brad is a motherfucking legend. That's who Brad is. man, back when I was first getting into promoting, started Dream Productions in Pensacola, Florida. Yeah, actually, I threw one or two parties and Brad had come out and man, he liked what we were doing. And I got to tell you, I kind of had a little man crush on him because he looks like Rob Thomas. And he's super cute.
Thanks, buddy.
But more importantly than that, you know, he was saying nice things about me. And I'm a sucker for that. And he's like, man, I really like what you're doing here. I think this is a really good idea.
Oh, so that's the same move you use on everyone. Like, just keep telling everyone how awesome they are. And then they accept you in the group. And now you're in getting free drinks.
We were throwing these parties and it just kept gaining momentum. And right. We started throwing parties at a place called Liquid Lounge.
Now, that's what I think we're going into the first story. We're going to call the first story, "You're Grinding My Gears."
When we would throw these parties, and plus we ignored all laws, we just opened this warehouse and then just party till 7, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. The place would get packed. There'd be steam coming out of the building underneath the roof because it was so hot. Oh, it didn't have air conditioning. And it would just be steam.
All the raver kids are in there just sweating and eating their faces.
Yeah, I just can't believe how the cops were like, oh, fuck it. Let's not even bother. It was crazy. And so people started traveling from out of town. We're going, people really driving a long way. And this one particular party, Brad had a longtime girlfriend that everyone knew. But this really cute girl from Lafayette came to one of the parties and instantly was on, all over Rob Thomas.
Oh, it's Rob Thomas.
She didn't even like that kind of music. So cute. But, man, I'll let Brad talk a little bit about that girl.
So we were, one of the things that we had to do is a lot of promotion across the Northern Gulf Coast. We ran into this girl at one of these parties in Gulfport, Mississippi. She's a very friendly girl. I asked her, I was like, hey, you know, if you got nothing going on tomorrow night, you should come to Pensacola and come to our event. That night kind of passed on. Next day comes up. I get ready to go to the event. My girlfriend's tired, stays home. So I show up at the party, and I walk in, and within a couple minutes, I'm starting to hear some chatter. Hey, man, I heard you hooked up with that girl last night. So at first, I'm like, you know, that's insane. I don't know what you're talking about, whatever. Then I started to notice it was a rumor going around.
I mean, it's a cool story, but I wish I was a part of it if I was going to be blamed for it.
That is the beginning of this logic, if you will, that got me into the pinnacle of the story. So needless to say, I hadn't slept a whole lot. It's kind of hungover.
Oh, sleep dep and hungover. That's great.
Yeah. It really twists the mind. What you think is flawless logic in hindsight is nothing of the sort.
Right.
Maybe about an hour or two goes on and then lo and behold, this girl shows up.
Sweet.
At this point, I'm a little pissed off. You know, because all these people know my girlfriend. So she comes in and I walk up to her and say, hey, how's it going? Thanks for coming. I don't know if you heard the story, but apparently you and I are hitting it. I'm like, so it's kind of pissing me off. And she kind of laughs. She's like, well, you know, people talk. That's what they do. I guess maybe an hour or two later, I was sitting down with her next to the couch and it's still kind of buzzing around. I'm like, you know what? I'm like, I got a great idea. If these people want to talk about me and say all of the shit that's not really happening.
That's what I like, is that when you're already like, I got sleeved up and a little drunk and I'm pissed off now, I got an idea. It's never a good idea.
No. He's like, let's give them something to talk about.
Let's give them something to talk about.
So she played along with it. I was like, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make a scene. We're going to walk out of this club hand in hand. We're going to walk out the front door. We're going to kind of storm out. We're going to walk out that front door. We're going to jump off in your car and take off. So
yeah, this is a really good idea. Now, I'm unaware.
This is no way this is going to backfire horribly.
No, it can't. I can't. And I'm unaware that he's concocted this great plan. I'm in the parking lot trying to...
Can you please put air quotes around great plan?
Right. I'm trying to herd all these people out of the parking lot, you know, just trying to keep everyone in the building. But the parking lot... it's just packed. There's people everywhere, and they are breaking the law, drinking and throwing bottles. And, we never planned for security. It was just me, Brad, and Billy. And I don't get a whole lot of respect. So I'm outside trying to get these people, man, and there's tons of people, and they're actually standing around talking, and Brad comes out of the front of this club, and I'd heard some of the rumors, but I didn't realize it was starting to get to him. I was like, man, it's no big deal. You didn't hook up with the girl last night. I was there with you in Gulfport.
Right. So was my girlfriend.
Touche.
You know?
I wasn't there for his process of deciding, you know, hey, y'all want something to talk about and get me in trouble with my girlfriend? Well, I'm going to rubber stamp the shit out of that.
I'm going to definitely get me in trouble with my girlfriend.
So he comes storming out, and a lot of these people outside are like, holy shit, it's Brad. And he's holding this girl's hand, man, and he's walking.
Everything's confirmed right now.
Not my greatest hour.
Brilliant move.
But you know what? He was trying to James Dean the shit out of this thing. He was really trying to be a cool guy, man. And
pop the collar. I'm out.
He's walking over to her car, and she had a nicer car.
It was an Acura.
It was a nice car at the time, man. It was a little sporty and everything. And nice. So he goes over there and opens the door for her. She gets in the passenger side. Now, everybody around me, I'm about 25 yards from him, and I didn't even say anything. I was like, what the hell is he doing? His girlfriend, she's going to lose it. When she hears this, and now everyone's seeing, people followed him out of the bar. They were like, has he lost his mind?
Shit's going down. Everyone grab your drinks and go outside.
But to his credit, the girl was smoking hot. So
worth the trouble. Maybe.
Maybe worth
it. It also exacerbates the problem as well.
Yeah, if she was like a heinous hog, your girl would be like, yeah, right.
Sorry, we were just running to get some barbecue.
I just took off of her because I was hungry.
Now, I've got the same perspective as all the people in the parking lot, and there could be 100. It was quite a crowd. There was a lot of people. And a couple of people were like, actually like, hey, Brad, what the hell are you doing? He closes her door. She gets in the passenger side of her car, and he closes her door, and he turns and looks at everybody, and he throws both his hands up in the air and shoots us all the bird. He's like, fuck all y'all. I'm out.
That's his drop the mic. Fuck this and fuck you.
Boom. He's leaving here, and he's going to be super cool about it.
He's going to be a rock star.
Tosses the keys up, catches with him hand, gets in the driver's side. This is the part where I feel like what Brad wanted to do was just peel the fuck out and just nothing but tire smoke and fuck y'all.
Middle finger out the window.
That was the plan.
It's going to be awesome.
We just see this little sports car. Brad revs the fucking engine and pops the clutch, and it yokes forward and dies and jerks back and forth a little bit, and the car died. We're like, okay, that was
let's go take two, guys.
That was a little weird. He restarts the car, revs that fucking engine up, gets everybody's attention, does it again. Now, to give him credit, one of the tires did squeak the second time. I was like, and then the car just and dies.
Oh, B-Rad.
So now I'm like, man, people are starting to laugh. Like,
like everybody?
So I don't think this is going as cool as
I could actually hear Aaron laughing from across the parking lot. And in the rearview mirror, I saw him laughing. I saw his pearly whites. I'm like, Jesus, I am failing at what I'm trying to do.
He's falling and stuff.
Even my own friends are about to piss themselves.
Oh, I was loving it. So he gives it another go, cranks the car up, revs the engine. Same result. The car jerks forward. The lights are going on and off. It just dies. And we're just losing it. This time, the car just doesn't restart. It just sits there. It just sits there, and the windows are tinted. We can't see what's going on in the car, but he's just sitting there. And everybody wants to see what's going to happen now. A couple minutes go by. Now, I can't attest to what was going on in Brad's mind in that car.
Embarrassment? out of the whole thing, that's what really embarrassed me the most.
Do you have an ejector seat? We can just bump in here real fast.
Now, we all thought this was pretty funny, but man, Brad knows how to make something that's pretty funny. Absolutely hilarious. So they sit there, and everybody's got anticipation about what's going to happen. All of a sudden, both doors open, and both of them get out. They don't even look over at us. They just walk behind the car, cross, and change sides. She gets in the driver's seat, and he gets in the passenger seat, and then she gently drives the car out of the parking lot, leaving the rest of us laughing our asses off.
That's like the cowboy grabs a girl, throws her on the back of the horse, but can't get the spurs to work. So
come on, horse, go!
He's like, all right, you drive, I'll hold on to you.
I went from feeling like Jesus Christ Superstar
to a complete jackass in a matter of a minute. In front of everybody at this club and all of my friends.
Making sure that him taking off with a girl was something no one in Pensacola no one was going to forget.
Sure. See, I think what I would have done after the third stall out, I probably would have just like, all right, we got to just take off our clothes and get out of the car. That way they'll be like, what the fuck happened? It's like, I now understand why he stalled out the car. Like, just confuse everybody. They run around and start barking like a chicken. They're like, oh, he's just high as fuck.
I was a little emasculated because I couldn't drive the stick shift, so I wasn't about to take my clothes off.
Well, she was like, well, I was going to fuck you, but apparently you don't know how to work a stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're gonna make a big dramatic exit and squeal out of a parking lot, learn know how to drive a stick. But luckily for him, the girl did.
Oh, do you still want me to peel out for you?
Should I flip them the bird when I get in the car?
This is how you do it. Be rad. We do it. We're gonna put it in gear. We're gonna ease off the cut. Fuck you guys!
I think I tried to make some kind of excuse in the car. I'm like, this stick shift is not like the ones I'm used to.
Well, thank God I warmed it up for you. You're gonna know.
You should probably get your transmission checked.
No, we're gonna jump into the second story. We're calling this one "Tastes Like Booty in the Glass." Now, explain what that means, Brad.
So, this is... I used to be a big fan of tequila, and I stopped drinking tequila. And
everyone used to be a big fan of tequila.
And if you're still a fan of tequila, there's a moment coming from you that will make you not a big fan of it.
Right. So, me and my girlfriend at the time, her name is Courtney, we were over our friend's house, my friend Billy, and this other girl, whom he was seeing at the time.
Do we want to give the other girl a name?
Sure. We'll call her Tina.
Tina, right. Courtney, Billy, and Brad.
All right. So we're over there just drinking some tequila, whatever. And I step outside to smoke a cigarette, and Tina follows me out there. Now, I had not met this Tina girl before, and I realized I don't have any cigarettes. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know what? I don't have any fucking cigarettes. I got to go to the store. She's like, well, I'll ride with you. The store was maybe a half a block away from that parking lot. So we both hop in the truck, go up to the store, and as soon as I get up to the Circle K, my pager starts going off.
Pager, that's dating the story. Yeah, I'm an
old bastard. So it's Courtney. I'm like, oh shit, I didn't tell we were leaving. Well, we'll be back there in a second. So I look at this Tina girl, and she looks a little, I don't know how I can really say this, but a little scared. She's like, oh, that was Courtney. Do you think she's mad? I'm like, well, I don't think so. Why are you even asking anyway?
She smokes too.
Yeah. So
is she mad that you smoke?
All right, so I pull back in the parking lot, and as me and Tina are walking towards the door, Courtney is coming out the door walking towards my truck, and as we pass each other, she looks at me and she's like, let's fucking leave now. And I'm like, okay, chill out, I don't know what your problem is, but let me go say bye to Billy. I walk inside, and this girl, Tina, looks scared. I'm like, this is just not going right. This just doesn't make any sense to me.
What does Tina know that I don't fucking know?
Exactly. I'm like, she seems like she might have been in this position before, whatever this position is.
Yeah,
so,
she's familiar with this.
So I go and I look at Billy. I'm like, Billy, I got to go, man. I don't know. Courtney's freaking out. So I go to turn around and walk out the door. And this girl was all of maybe 98 pounds soaking wet.
Courtney?
Yes.
Girlfriend?
Yeah. So I look at my truck, and I had just recently purchased this vehicle. She is in the back of the truck with her boot off, and she had these boots that had like a solid metal heel.
Oh, fantastic.
She had one of the boots off, and she was swinging it at the back window of my vehicle.
She was trying to break the glass with the back of the heel of a boot.
Exactly.
Because you were gone a block and a half away for
I took off
five
with
minutes.
The girl.
She doesn't want you to get emphysema.
Right, I'm sure that was it. I start running towards the truck, as in like slow motion, I'm running towards her, and she switches from hitting the back windshield to hitting my sunroof.
Oh, God.
So she hits my sunroof once, and then I'm maybe 3 yards away from the truck. She swings again, and I just hear the glass bust.
Oh, God. My new ride.
I was so close to tackling her.
I'll be honest with you, I would have tackled her.
I mean, I was ready to do the form tackle I was taught in high school. I was ready to
3-point stancing up.
Man, I was going to Lawrence Taylor her ass. But so I get in the truck. She gets in the truck, and I'm sitting in glass, and I am infuriated. I have no idea what caused her to snap at this particular point.
Right.
So she gets in the truck, and I look at her. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And she's like, you just rode off with that whore. And I was like, oh, what? Come to find out, long story short, the girl had kind of a reputation for being a homewrecker.
But Tina, kind of the Tina girl had
Tina,
a,
yeah.
So that was what that look was in her face. She's like, oh, yeah, right. I get this a lot.
You know, girls can tell when other girls, or they may know, guys sometimes don't pick up on it as easy. This guy, me, I don't. Yes, that's been one of my biggest flaws. So.
Brad doesn't always pick up on things like everyone else does.
Yeah, and that gets me in trouble. So we're in the truck, and now I see why she was pissed off. But we're also very drunk on tequila, which that tends to make people aggressive. So glass all over the place, and she's sitting there with her arms crossed, just
fuming,
unapologetic about what just happened.
You deserve this, you asshole.
Yeah, you had it coming. Yeah. You were gone almost 5 minutes.
Jesus.
You could have fucked her five times that then.
Right. So we get about halfway to the house, and I'm so angry at this point that I have to get her out of my vehicle.
Of course.
So I pulled the truck over on the side of the road. She was pretty drunk. I opened the door, and she kind of fell out.
Right? So she was like trying to get out, and then she just like ate shit?
Right, right. So I closed the door, and I take off. I'm like, I have to get her out of my truck because I can't even stand to her presence close to me is driving me insane. Sitting in glass.
I'll be honest with you. I can't believe you let her get in the truck after she busted the glass in the first place. But
I'm a nice guy, dude. At the end of the day, I'm a nice guy. Like. So I get about another halfway to the house, and I get to think, and my consciousness is taking over, and I'm like, you know, I need to go back and pick her up. It's 3:30 in the morning. She's dumped drunk. Her out in front of a used car lot in the middle of the ghetto.
Well, so she could buy a ride home.
So I turn around and go back to get her, thinking that maybe she had started walking. She is laying exactly in the same place that she was when she fell out of the truck.
No further down the road.
No, one leg is halfway in the highway. She's laid out on the ground and passed out. I'm like, holy shit.
So she went to get out of the car. She fucked up on the way getting out of the car. She laid there and she's like, fuck, I'll sleep here. Just,
yeah, apparently so. This girl, she, even though she was small, she could drink quite a bit.
Let me tell you something. Breaking a sunroof takes a lot out of you when you're trying to. You
it's know. Exhausting work.
Man, she was really swinging
revenge
at it,
is a
too.
Very expensive and tiring game.
So, yeah, I pick her up, put her back in the truck. Again, laying her in the glass that she shattered.
It's her fault.
Put all in my vehicle and had to drive her home. It was one of the most surreal moments.
She probably didn't even thank you for saving her leg.
No. No. So, yeah.
So that should have been put on the Bitches Be Crazy episode right there. Like, you're too nice. Like, honestly, you damaged my car. You're fine. It happened to me. I had a chick go crazy, damaged my vehicle, and guess what? I left her ass in Atlanta. Like, I'm out.
I would have rather her hit me.
Yeah. I'll get over it. But, like, yeah, she fucked up my car. Fuck you. Like, I don't care. You don't touch my Betty. My Betty.
And I'd only had that thing for a very short period of time, and for a while, because I didn't have a whole lot of money at the time, I drove around in that busted ass sunroof vehicle with a plastic bag over the sunroof. Oh, it was a constant reminder.
Yeah, that's the fancy
that you like them. You like fancy pants. You like those girls that are kind of crazy. Look, if every time we have sex, I'm not fearing for my life, I'm not going to get off. Like, I know that.
I need to be interesting. A little excitement.
Well, we're going to go to the last story. And the last story, Aaron, you're going to kick it off with, we're calling it Stinky Jeans.
Me and Brad had worked our way into a semi-management position, at least managing all the promotion at Bedlam, one of our favorite night spots.
It has been mentioned quite a few times on the podcast, I think.
This shit is legendary. So we had worked ourselves into a bit of a management position. So it became that was just our destination for the night. So we had to be there by midnight. That's when they wanted to be there, right at the beginning, to start meeting and greeting and trying to get people in. We had gone out Thursday night, and when I got home, I was like, man, that was my last pair of jeans. I'm going to need some jeans for this weekend. So I put a load of jeans into my washer and get them started, and I go to bed. I don't think about that load of jeans again until it's about 11 p.m. on Saturday night. So we've got to be at Bedlam.
Wait, so that was 3 days later, 2 days later?
It was a solid 48 hours.
Oh, God.
And
because I've left my laundry, and then I opened the washing machine, and it smells horrendous.
And in Florida, with it being hot like that, muggy, man, that just, stuff gets rank.
It can happen really
quick. And honestly,
quick.
The Florida water itself is pretty stinky.
Yeah, it's not great. Yeah. And so, man, if you in Florida, you wash your clothes, you leave them in the dryer for 6 hours, and they could start to get a little mildewy smelling.
Oh, God.
But, man, I didn't consider any of this. I just knew I was late. I had to get ready. I'm like, God, I got to throw these clothes, these jeans in the dryer. It's going to take them almost, 45 minutes to dry. Man, just throw everything in the dryer, run and jump in the shower, and, man, just really get ready quick. By the time I get out of the shower and everything, Brad has arrived, and he's in my living room just chilling. I grab my favorite pair of pants, throw it on, and he was like, come on, man, we're going to be late. We got to drive all the way downtown.
Got to grab your sweet JNCOs and head on out.
Hey, man, don't hurt my feelings.
My lowdowns.
And they were JNCOs. But
what was that, like a 26-inch bottom on those legs?
Yeah, those were about 26 inches, not the big ones. It was conservative. I wasn't feeling like getting crazy.
Conservative.
We jump in the car, and we're racing out of my apartment complex, and you got to go through a couple gates. And both of us were like, do you smell that? Like something stinks, and it's not like,
wait, so you didn't notice that your pants were starting to stink until you were in the car already? It's
yes,
too late.
We're in a small car in a closed environment, and the pants were just killing it, man.
I thought he had a wet towel or something he might have left in his car. I was like, what the fuck is that smell?
It's terrible, man. Brad, I think that smell is my pants. So I'm like, but don't, I got a plan. We can do this. We don't have to go home. I don't have all my jeans were in that load. They're all going to smell bad, but I have a solution. We'll stop at this gas station by the interstate real quick. And so we ditch into this gas station, and I run in real quick and run over to the sundries aisle. And sure enough, they've got a can of Lysol on the shelf.
Oh, thank God. They have something for stinky jeans.
Yeah. So I'm over in aisle one right by the big glass windows.
So we think.
Yeah. And I just grabbed the can of Lysol and started spraying down my jeans in the store. I'm spraying them all down. And
you look like a maniac.
I feel like I've got really good coverage here. And I put the lid back on the Lysol and put it back on the shelf. Jump, run out and get in the car. And when I first get in the car, man, it is Lysol-y. It is very strong. But
way
I'm like,
better.
I'm like, man, see, I killed it. So, man, we just speed towards Bedlam. We run in there, and, man, Bedlam is it's really good.
Oh, it's hopping in now.
Having a good time, man. And we're there for till about 5:30. There's a bunch of people who are like, man, we're going to First Street. We used to party with a bunch of people that lived over on First Street on the west side. And we're all going to First Street. It's going to be a big after party. I'm like, man, that sounds great. It sounds like an army of people are going.
There's no way I'm not going.
Oh, and there's a group of chicks that me and Brad were talking to. And they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to go to First Street. I'm like, we're going to go to this after party. And Brad's like, I'm in, man. And for some reason, I think the pants smell worse. This house we were going to has a big back deck that they had just built with a big porch swing and all this. And so I was like, what we'll do, Brad, is we'll hang out outside. And
the sweet veranda.
Yeah, the smell, the parts per million, it'll dissipate and it won't be so noticeable if I'm in the house stinking the place up. When we get there, I walk straight around to the backyard, man. And sure enough, there's a good crowd out on the porch and they're playing cock toss.
sorry, what? Wait, what's it? What was it?
Cock toss. Cock toss was a game where they had a tire hanging from a tree.
It was actually a bucket.
Oh, a bucket, you're right. Yeah. They had a bucket hanging from a tree.
Right.
And it was
a black dildo.
And a big black dildo. Man, there's a bunch of chicks out there playing cock toss, and they're trying to, throw the big black dildo in the bucket. And, man, I go over to the porch swing and settle in and everything, and those girls that we had met at the club were there, and so I start telling stories, and Brad's hanging out there, and a cute girl sits beside me on the porch swing, and me and Brad are just entertaining. We're telling stories, and we're trying to gather a little crowd around us and, like, hey, acknowledge that we're funny.
Look how hilarious we are.
We're awesome. Things are going pretty well, and the chick on the swing beside me is laughing, and I'm like, man, this is really working out. Sun is not even up. We haven't been at this after party more than half an hour.
Sweet.
I'm having a drink. I'm having a drink, and I'm telling the story. I noticed that as I'm gently swinging in this thing, that on the backswing, I'm getting a little bit of the smell in my pants in my nose.
Oh, you're getting wafted by your pants.
I'm like, oh, man. But I've been drinking all night. It's a little warm and muggy. It's summer in Florida, so even right before the sun rises, it is hot and humid. Man, that smells not sit with me, but I'm trying to push through and tell my story and be charming. I used to wear a big wallet chain. I had this big fuzzy tiger print wallet on this giant, giant beaded chain. It had these really big beads. It was a little ostentatious, and I loved it. But what had happened is I'm sitting there and I'm swinging and I'm moving around and being all gestury. And I had started working these beads in between the slats of this swing.
Of the bench, right.
Unknowingly, obviously.
Unknowingly. But I'm starting to feel a little green every time. And now I'm starting to smell the pants stronger and stronger. And
the drunk is turning against you with the smell.
Like, so my mouth starts getting juicy and I'm like trying to... message to Brad, hey man, take over these stories, man. Can you cover for me? Because my forehead's starting to sweat and I taste metal.
Yeah, it was, I could definitely see it was coming.
A terrible ending was coming. And there's a
terrible to you. It's kind of hilarious, but
thanks a lot. It's a pretty good crowd. And man, all of a sudden I realize, man, I'm going to throw up. There is no.
It's not, can I stop the throw up? It's going to happen.
Oh, and because, man, for several minutes, I've just been swallowing and trying to eat it. And, like that, it's just, I'm producing saliva. So much saliva. And I'm just like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.
God, but, you're
making me puke. But the pants are just getting more intense and more intense and more intense. And, oh, God. And,
you ever think about just taking them off, throwing them off the balcony and just be the guy in the underwear? Like, play that game?
Hindsight's always 20/20.
We've got this half circle of all these people, and I'm like, man, I cannot just throw up on all these people's feet.
That's rude.
There's a shed back there behind the cock bucket, and I'm like, man, if I just get up, move back there, I can just maybe, slip a little vomit behind the shed. Nobody will notice. Then vomit is saying, I'm coming right now. You can't make it. You can't be subtle.
No time for the shed, motherfucker.
So I jump. I'm just like, don't puke on these people.
Just get past the people and you're fine.
Got to get out of it. I jump and get snatched back into that swing so hard it hurt my neck.
Because of the chain?
The wallet chain is wedged in there. I jump up. It grabs my belt. It grabs my rear pocket and snatches me back down and release. I vomit everywhere.
I seem to remember you trying to get up twice too. Snatched you down once, and that's when I started to laugh. Being your friend, I was trying. I was making gestures to help, but it's almost like watching somebody get hit by a car. Even though you may be trying to help, you really kind of want to see it too.
All I do is extend my hand and go, "I know your pain.
Hey,
this is gonna suck for you."
So I see him get snatched down. Tries to stand up again. That thing snatches him back down. That
bastard.
Now comes the waterworks.
And it's like an alien was spitting at everyone. They just jump, and maybe there were a couple of screams. And the chick beside me is like, "Oh my God!" And I tried to cover it with my hand, and all it did was make it into like four streams that are coming through my fingers.
It's like lots of back pressure.
Flashed suppressors of a gun just kind of shoots all star all over the place.
Put your thumb over the end of a water hose. All I'm doing is getting more velocity.
More of a spread, a contra.
And it was foamy and terrible, and I couldn't stop. Everyone is laughing. But the girl that was sitting beside me just runs into the house. I'm like, I feel like I may have blown that opportunity.
What's your pick up line after this?
Now, Brad, who I was hoping would do something to jump to my rescue, did more like most of my friends do, point and laugh.
Look, yeah. This is your stalling out in the parking lot story.
This is it.
And
well, it was a thing of beauty. I'm just glad I didn't get puked on.
Yeah, well, you jumped good. It was you had a little warning, and you were clearing the circle. I finally get my chain out of that. I'm like, Brad, we're leaving.
Really? You needed to tell him you were leaving?
We're leaving. And we're going out the back gate. We're not saying goodbye. We're just out of here. And what I like about Brad is when I'm in this kind of situation, he doesn't be like, oh, no, man, I was having a good time. He's like, yeah, I get it. Just get the hell out of here.
Yeah, we weren't going to stay.
So, man, we just duck it around the side and jump in the car. And it's about a half an hour drive back to my house. And now I smell like stinky pants and vomit. And Brad's got his window rolled down so that everyone we drive past can hear him laughing and mocking me and calling me names.
That's why he had the window rolled down, is to mock you, not because your stinky jeans are still part of the fucking equation.
You know, you're right. This story is very similar to the stick shift story.
It's the same.
In that you walk into it thinking that you're...
I'm the man.
Yep, killing it.
Watching you get snatched down on that bench, man, that is a memory I will never forget.
Well, if you have any funny stories where you're hanging out with your friends or just any funny subject matter you'd like to hear us talk about on the podcast, send your ideas to devilsbusinesspodcast@gmail.com. Do you have any closing statements you want to make? Anything you learned from the story, Aaron?
First of all, I have all these stories because I never learned shit.
Always wash and dry immediately.
Yeah, what you should learn is,
learn how to drive stick shift. I learned that.
Yes, Nate. Drive stick shift. If you don't have time to wait for your washer to complete and put the clothes in the dryer, don't do any laundry. Just wear yesterday's underwear. Right. It's not worth it.
Like how my solution was like, take off your pants and throw off the porch. Get naked in the car. My answer was like, just get naked.
Yeah,
it just
throws
everybody off. They don't know what their game is anymore.
They didn't take our shirts off.
We should take our shirts off and clean the car. Like, what? Look, I have one move. It's just get naked. I had a bad show one time. I just started taking my clothes off. I had no clue what I was doing. I also learned... if you don't mind damage to your vehicle, at least you're going to get a good lay out of it. So be sure to wrap it up and sleep it off. Bye, everybody.
Peace.
Peace.
This has been a Zombie Werewolf production.